Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Randy?
Yes, sir. We're live.
Vernon, how are you?
We're good. We'll do a roll call here in a little bit and start the rules and get started in about 3 minutes.
Okay, I've been worried about you up there with all that rain you're getting in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, we're good, and we're also streaming live, so we can chat later.
Good.
Hey, Randy, it's Holly here, just checking in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioner Stakem?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, all. It's 10 a.m. We'll do a roll call, make sure that we have a quorum. Vice Chair Hash?
Here.
Commissioner Boozer?
Here.
Commissioner Doche?
Here.
Commissioner Fager?
Here.
Commissioner Stakem?
Here.
Commissioner Williams?
Here.
Great. We have a quorum, everyone present. Rules and regs, please mute your phone unless you're chatting, and we'll get to it. So we'll call the meeting to order. And the first item is approval of the agenda that you have been sent out for today. Can I get a motion to approve?
Mr. Stakem.
Okay, approved and seconded. Now I'll do the roll call by Chair Hash.
Approved.
Commissioner Boozer?
Approved.
Commissioner Doche?
Approved.
Commissioner Fager?
Approved.
Commissioner Stakem?
Approved.
And Commissioner Williams?
Approved.
Thank you all. The agenda is approved. Now, you are also provided the minutes of the open session June 25th. Are there any corrections or modifications to those meeting minutes? If not, can I get a motion to approve?
Commissioner Doche, so moved.
Mr. Stakem, second. Commissioner Stakem, second.
All in favor, Commissioner Hash, Vice Chair Hash.
Approved.
Commissioner Boozer?
Approved.
Commissioner Doche?
Approved.
Commissioner Fager?
Approved.
Commissioner Stakem?
Approved.
And Commissioner Williams?
Approved.
We'll move on to the consent agenda. Item number one, new instant ticket games. Number 495, a $2 Ruby Sixes. Number 501, a $5 Fantasy Fives. Number 510, $10 terrific tens. 511, $20, 100 times the cash. 515, a $1, 5 times the cash. 516, a $2, 10 times the cash. 517, a $5, 20 times the cash. 518, $10, 50 times the cash. Number two is the EGD games and component testing, certified lab software, hardware, and game certifications, VLPs, table game components, and instant bingo machines from 6/11/20 to 8/13/20. Number three, the regulatory violations, Live Casino, January 2020, MGM National Harbor, July, August, September, October, November of 19, and February of 2020. Number four, the gaming license application denials and revocations. Number five, the staff reports, Jim Nielsen, Deputy Director, Chief Operating Officer, John Martin, Managing Director, Chief Revenue Officer, Leo Momorski, Managing Director, Chief Marketing Officer, John Mooney, Managing Director, Regulatory Oversight, Paula Yocum, Managing Director, Acting Chief Financial Officer, Harold Gentry, Managing Director, Communications, James Butler, Managing Director, Organizational Compliance, and Holly Sitko, Acting Principal Counsel of the Office of Attorney General. Anyone that cares to pull out any one of these items for discussion? If not, can I get a motion to approve?
Commissioner Doge, so moved.
Commissioner Fager, second.
Second.
Thank you. We'll do the roll call. Vice Chair Hesch.
Approve.
Commissioner Boozer.
Approve.
Commissioner Doge.
Approve.
Commissioner Fager.
Approve.
Commissioner Stakem.
Approve.
And Commissioner Williams.
Approved.
Thank you. That is approved. Now we'll go on to the operator reports. And we'll start with Matt High School of Hollywood Casino.
Good morning. So the general theme for Hollywood is that the revenue numbers have been very, very strong since reopening. So June was a partial month. Year-over-year comparisons don't really work that way since we opened up halfway. But for July, Hollywood was up over 7% year-over-year. In slots, both volumes and revenues were up 5% year-over-year, and table games volume and revenues were both up 14%. So table games has been particularly strong for us since we opened back up, which has been really great to see. For August, the solid performance has continued. So far, slot volumes have leveled off a little bit, but we are holding well, and tables continues to be an outstanding story, up quite a bit in both drop and volume for now. So hopefully we can hold on to that for some good numbers when we finally report at the end of the month. During the shutdown, we were able to complete construction on the Green Turtle, which is our main restaurant in the facility. Now allows family dining. So in the past, minors could not go into the restaurant. So I want to, again, thank the lottery for getting us to the point where we can add family business to that restaurant and get that important component in there before we have our neighbors in Great Wolf in a couple of years, hopefully. We are excited to get poker back up and running. We got it up and running a couple of weeks ago, and we were able to beat Delaware Park to the punch on that. So our early numbers in that area have also been very, very strong, and it's certainly something our customers were clamoring to have back. From a promotional standpoint, there still isn't a lot in the pipeline as we, you know, remain wary of bringing too many people in for an event during this period, but we are cautiously beginning to plan these types of things for future months with the, at this point, with the hopes that we can resume something resembling events coming up. If you remember, before the shutdown, I was beginning to talk about all our really cool blowout 10-year anniversary plans, which seems almost adorable in retrospect that I was planning those things for this next month. But as we begin to plan our 10 and a half or 11 year anniversary events, whatever that looks like, as we try to continue, you know, celebrate the history of the property having hit 10 years, I will certainly let you know. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Well, Matt, that's great news. So thank you for that update. So we'll move to Ocean Downs with Bobby Sample.
Good morning, commissioners. July, our revenues overall were down slightly, 5.2%. Of course, this time of year, we are comparing to our absolute busiest time of year, the summer months. So that is a little bit of a challenge for us coming out of the gate from being closed. It was primarily driven by slots. Slots was down 6.3%, and that was volume driven. Our hold, and as well as hold driven, our hold was lower than it was last year. Our tables were up though, 3.9%. That was largely from hold. Our volume was fairly consistent with last year, so we were pretty pleased with that. I will forewarn you for next month's meeting that August last year, August of 2019, was our record month ever in both slots and tables. So obviously that is a little bit of a challenging bar to hit this year. And we came out of the gate paying out a $125,000 non-progressive jackpot in the first week of August. So that didn't make that any easier, but we have a very happy customer. And where we're really seeing things below last year is really midweek. And from what I gather from talking to a lot of hotel owner, or hotel operators in particular in Ocean City, that is what they are seeing as well. Their weekend business is strong and their midweek business is lagging versus last year. So we seem to be mirroring that. But we're doing a few different direct mail items to try and push the midweek business at the end of this month and leading into September. As Matt alluded to, our marketing has been relatively minimal, not wanting to drive a lot of traffic to the casino at any one given time. So we're working on some ideas to spread out, you know, some traffic to the property. In September, we will be restarting our senior slot social on Monday. We have done our first, and we'll do another this Friday, our Free Play Fridays, where we do our wheel spin on Facebook, and people can participate in that and then come in later for their free play, just as a way to kind of continue to engage with our customers on social media. And we're also looking to add some contact list hot seats. The one thing we were able to do in July, we are a sponsor of the Ocean City Air Show, or I'm sorry, that is in August, the Ocean City Air Show. So we did have a suite for our VIPs. We continued our sponsorship, even though we couldn't do my favorite event when we have the parachute jumpers here at the property and we do a very, you know, large reception. We weren't able to do that, but we could at least go to the show. We observed all the same rules in the suite as we have in the casino, same cleaning protocols. We had a reduced guest list, and we had a larger outside viewing area, which was perfect for this year. So those guests that we were able to take on the Saturday of the weekend and thoroughly enjoyed it. Unfortunately, Sunday was canceled, but due to weather, but it was still nice to be able to do something for our VIPs and to get at least some of them together. We, from an employee perspective, still have some team members who are on furlough. We do have a need, in particular for part-time dealers in our table games. So we are currently running a table games school, and we invited those who are on furlough to participate if they wanted, and we had about five or six attendees of the school from that group. So, you know, just looking at different ways that we can try and get our team members back in areas where we need them. And that's what's going on here. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Well, hearing none, thank you, Bobby. Let's go to Anthony Franco with Life.
Good morning, thank you. All things being equal, July was a solid month for Live from a financial perspective. Our total revenues were up about 4.5% year over year. Slots were down modestly, 1.7%, but tables were up significantly at 21%. Helped by hold a little bit, we did have a good month from a hold perspective, so that's part of that 21% increase. Poker was also up a modest 1.2%. A couple of important notes as it relates to COVID. We made several operational changes, all of them with the intent of reducing congestion, helping maximize social distancing. So our front of house bars have all been closed now for several weeks, only offering cocktail service to active gamers or diners in our restaurants. We've also restricted access to our facility on the weekends to card members only on Friday and Saturday nights. So from 10 p.m. until 4 a.m. in the morning on Friday and Saturday, it's card members only. And then finally, I would also add, similar to my colleagues on the call, we've dramatically reduced our promotions calendar. So we've really softened up any large-scale, we don't have any, frankly. We've killed all our entertainment. We don't have any large-scale promotions. So taking all that into consideration, I'm very happy with the overall performance of the property since our opening and through the month of July. And August actually is a continuation of that trend. Numbers are solid, and we're continuing to focus on safety first. And we also think about how we can continue to improve the Play It Safe plan. So that is our main focus going into the remainder of this year. Of course, we're thinking about our 2021 budget. A lot of unknowns about what COVID means for us next year. We're probably going to do a couple different versions of that budget. But we'll be working through that process diligently over the next couple of months. I would finish with saying that, you know, we're really excited about the construction project of our new sports and social venue. We're investing over $10 million in the property in a new, what we're calling our new sport and social venue. It's our sort of version of the next evolution of the sports book in anticipation of sports betting, hopefully getting approved sometime in the near future. We are going to create a spectacular space that will become a high energy feature of our property. So that construction has actually begun and is part of the request that we put in for a temporary reduction of slot machines on our floor. And with that said, I'll open it up for any questions.
Skylar Dice at Rocky Gap.
Good morning, commissioners. In July, we ended up 6.1% above our revenue levels in July of 2019, driven primarily by slots. We did see some good table game volume for the month, just a little challenge from the hold perspective. Summertime and a little limited travel by plane, I think, has helped the resort and has been good for tourism overall in Western Maryland. After talking to some of the local tourism folks, they're seeing increases all around Western Maryland. So it's a good time, I guess, to get out to this side of the state and enjoy the mountains. Headcounts were down. We're seeing a significant increase in the spend of those coming in, so that's been nice and has been what has led to some of the increases in the month of July. Again, we also had no large-scale promotions while trying to promote social distancing at the property, nor was our monthly mailer as robust as it would normally be in non-COVID months. We'll be hosting a small socially distanced VIP dinner this coming weekend in our event center. So I think we host a dozen people in a space normally reserved for 150. So that should be very interesting. August continues on a strong trajectory with one more strong weekend to come. Hiring has also been tough here. We're still running down 21% from what our summer levels normally would be. And outside of some of the work with the local food bank, there hasn't been many community outreach opportunities as of late. We continue our rigorous cleaning standards. We've also added the electrostatic cleaning process to our overnight cleaning in the interest of helping keep our team members and guests safe. And with that, I will take any questions.
Hearing none, thank you, Skylar. We'll go to Horseshoe with Randy Conroy.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. So interesting results so far, and similar in some ways to my colleagues and different in others. From a slot perspective, in July, we saw year-over-year growth in slots, and that trend has continued in August. It's remarkable in that we only have half of our machines turned on, but you know, so we're seeing some good results from a slot perspective. Tables is a different story. Whereas many operators have noted, you know, year-on-year increases in tables, we have not. And I think about why that is. Clearly, you know, only offering half the positions on tables has an impact. But then we also offered all of our dealers, in fact, all of our staff, a 30-day pass on the recall, which they weren't quite comfortable to come back in you know, this environment that we're operating. And we did see a significant portion of our dealer population take the deferral. Those dealers are now back in August, so we're seeing improving numbers from an August perspective. We also have not reactivated poker. We intend to do so in about 2 weeks. So, you know, we'll see some improving table games numbers again, August, the trends for slots continue to be strong. Tables has improved. We remain very flexible in operations. We have the nuances of, you know, the governor's mandates, but also Baltimore City's mandates. For example, we opened with our steakhouse open, the Gordon Ramsay Steak, when we reopened the casino late June. Then we had to close it down, and then we were able to reopen it. So we remain flexible with operations. We have right now 68% of our team that has been reactivated, and we hope to bring others back soon, again, just based on restrictions and the business levels. So I would expect that through the coming months, we'll continue to reactivate various aspects of our business, most of which are the restaurants. We only have a few restaurants open right now. As far as you know, charitable organizations and involvement, we were able to provide some financial support to the Associated Black Charities, Capital Region Minority Supplier Development Council. In fact, that one, I'll be hosting a webinar in a couple weeks on opportunities for diverse vendors to participate in this new COVID era that we're in. I think there's some interesting opportunities for folks. A couple other notes on July 31st, so the last day of July, Friday at 9 p.m., we had one of our regular customers get dealt a ace, king, queen, jack, 10 of hearts on Ultimate Texas Hold'em, which resulted in a $1.45 billion progressive payout, which was the largest payout that we think we've had in our history. It was pretty cool. So, you know, big deal of it. She was quite excited. And so that will tend to skew some of the numbers that you'll be seeing in August, just the FYI. And I'll speak to that next month. But it was really cool. It was progressive, so, you know, it didn't impact us at the property. And it's great to see some big jackpots being paid out at that level. The buzz is still throughout the casino. And then two other notes are Caesars Eldorado merger was completed on July 20th. So I've got some new bosses who I'm still trying to understand who they are and what their names are and everything. They've been at the property a couple times, and I think there's some coming through licensure through the agency. And then finally, my assistant GM, Jackie Grace, who I'm sure you all know, she's been here for the most part throughout opening, was promoted. She is now going to be the general manager and senior vice president at the Tropicana Atlantic City. So she has moved on. She's actually in a quarantine period, moving into New Jersey. She has to sit out 2 weeks going into that state, and then she will be starting up next month. But really excited for Jackie. She's been done a phenomenal job for Horseshoe Baltimore, and I've really enjoyed working with her. Kind of sad to see her go, but actually more excited that she's given the opportunity to step up into a general manager position. So with that, happy to answer any other questions you may have.
Well, I don't hear any, but I have one observation. This week on my social media feed popped up a 6-year anniversary of your opening. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Much like Matt, there's not much we can do about it. But yeah, it's been an interesting 6 years, and I'm more excited about the next 6 years.
Well, thank you, Randy. We'll move on to the MGM.
Morning, everyone. Tori Hay. You know, unlike what you're hearing from some of the colleagues, you know, we had a little bit of a slow start in July, and that was more by design. Just going over the numbers with you, total gaming revenues were down about 15.5%. Slots were down almost 17% year over year. Tables down 9.4%. And then poker, we opened poker about halfway through the month in July. Poker was down 65%. You know, the strategy here has been obviously health and safety top priority, and making sure that both our guests and our employees were comfortable in this new environment. And you saw that in our results in July. We were extremely light on promotions. As a matter of fact, we really didn't have any, just typical, you know, free play reinvestment, but no promotions. In August, we will gradually, and we have been gradually building up to promotions, but certainly nothing on a grand scale. And we are starting to see some really good trends in August. So by the time we're reporting out in August, I think you'll see some favorable results for us. With regard to health and safety, just a couple things to share with the team. You know, especially as we got into August, our volume started increasing pretty dramatically. Our admissions were up 24% versus July on an average day. So we've, you know, we implemented several weeks ago a safety committee with our senior execs. We meet weekly and we, you know, we monitor and evaluate our situation and make some operational decisions. We also implemented a safety ambassador program to really focus on social distancing and mask compliance during those heavy periods, you know, Friday and Saturday nights. Because we knew early on, we saw early on that there's some challenges in areas, you know, like our colleagues have spoken about, you know, walk-up bars and that sort of thing. We've changed some hours of operations. And also, we're leveraging our surveillance capabilities. We're doing scans frequently throughout the day, reporting down to the floor, and making sure that guests are compliant with our protocols. Obviously, with regard to entertainment, nothing going on. You know, no visibility, unfortunately. As important as that theater is to us, but no visibility on when that will come back. And then from a community standpoint, you know, we stayed engaged with our community even during the closure. You know, from sort of mid-March through July, National Harbor donated about 64,000 pounds of food, about 54,000 meals. And in August, we continue our philanthropic efforts. We've donated some unused supplies and inventory, things like school supplies to Prince George's County Public Schools, snacks for Boys and Girls Club in the Greater Washington area. And then another thing that we've done is, as a corporation, you know, we developed an employee emergency grant fund. At this point, we've distributed about $12 million to employees. Now, that's company-wide, right? That's a 60,000-plus employees. But there's, without a doubt, National Harbor employees have been able to benefit from that program. So that concludes my report, and I'll take any questions.
Well, Jorge, thank you. And just from the chair, I would like to say to all of you, you need to be commended for reopening safely, and the numbers are outstanding in the midst of this pandemic. So congratulations all. And now we'll move to the staff reports, and we'll go with Gordon.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Since we last met, we have put out our annual numbers with our fiscal 2020 results, which we released the press on Tuesday along with our press release. And as Mr. Chairman just mentioned, results have been amazingly strong. Let me start with the lottery. At the beginning of the pandemic, obviously, we were seeing you know, the sales collapse, but they truly recovered in May and June and resulted in a lottery number that was just barely shy of the all-time record we had set only the year before. So lottery contributions to the state, as you saw on the sheet that we distributed, nearly $589 million versus the $593 that we did the year before. So very, very impressive. And the casinos, as you heard, their results for fiscal year 2020 obviously reflected the fact that they were closed for more than 3 months. And pretty much the financial impact of that was almost in line exactly with that, with just about every measure down a little more than 25% as we would have expected. However, as you heard from our casinos in July, performance was incredibly impressive, only down 7% year over year. And that's amazing when you think about the casinos. They're operating at limited capacity, 50% for the most part. And to produce 93% of year-ago revenues with only a 50% capacity is truly impressive. The momentum of the lottery going forward, just to mention now, we'll get into fiscal 2021. Year-to-date, lottery sales are up 19.4%. Profits are up 17.8%. Again, year-to-date casino revenue is down only 7.4%, and contributions are down only 7.6%. And interestingly, the combination for the entire enterprise is actually up 3.1% in terms of contributions to the state. And of course, in this time, it's very important that we maintain our momentum and our ability to contribute to the good causes that we support for the state, which will be facing some severe budget and fiscal issues as we go forward. So we are quite proud to be doing our part to support that. Again, during the 2 months that we've been apart, we've made some personnel changes that you've all seen, but I just want to touch on them briefly. Paula Yoakum, as Mr. Chairman already mentioned, is now our acting chief financial officer. Jim Nielsen, who had temporarily also received IT under his view, is now also deputy director. James Butler also has taken on responsibility for human resources. And with the departure of our head of resources, Amy Ringgold is now our acting human resources director, although we will be posting for that job if we get permission, given the hiring freeze from Annapolis. Carol Gentry has also now taken full responsibility for the Customer Resource Center, which had been put temporarily under her aegis after Gina Smith's departure. And as you know, Holly Sitko is our acting principal counsel. So what we've done is basically redistribute some of the responsibilities in the organizations to the existing executive team. And obviously things are working well with the group. And I thank, you know, certainly all my team members for their tremendous contributions during this time. And just a final note on sports betting. As you know, it'll be going before the referendum in November. But with the expectation and the hope, certainly, that it will pass, even though we don't have specific structural and implementation legislation, we're going ahead and developing some draft regulations based on things that I think we can fairly predict will be the case in terms of the entities and the methodologies and the distributions for sports betting. We're also actively and intensely working on the input that we need to get to MDOT for a legislatively required report that's due on October 1st regarding a disparity study for potential future sports betting. So we have continued our work there, and it'll be tight, but our expectation is that we will meet that October 1st deadline. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Well, thank you, Gordon, for those updates. You know, in the midst of this pandemic, it's great to hear this good news, so thank you.
Great report.
Okay, let's go to James Logue, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Good morning, commissioners. I have two action items for you this morning. We'll begin with the 2019 promotional pay report. In accordance with COMAR 3603-1036G, each facility operator is required to submit a report of its use of free promotional play during the prior fiscal year and recommend any adjustment to the limitation on free promotional play established in regulation. Current regulation states that each facility operator may exclude from taxable proceeds an amount that equates to 20% of proceeds the facility generated in the prior fiscal year. The promotional play reports can be found on the MLGCA share drive under My Confidential Platform. The reports submitted by the facility operators provide that all six facilities recommended no change to the limitation on free promotional play. The commission may direct staff to adjust in regulation the amount of free promotional play that is excluded from taxable proceeds, or take no action and leave the rate at 20%, and staff recommends that the commission take no action and leave the current limits in place.
Thank you for that. Is there any discussion or questions from the commission? Hearing none, can I get a motion, please?
Commissioner Doge, so moved.
Commissioner Ash, approve it.
Thank you. We have a motion made and a second. I'll call the roll. Vice Chair Hatch.
Approve.
Commissioner Boozer.
Approve.
Commissioner Doge.
Approve.
Commissioner Fager.
Approve.
Commissioner Stakem.
Approved.
Commissioner Williams.
Approved.
Okay, we have a unanimous approval. So would you go to your next action item, please, sir?
The next action item is the Live Casino and Hotels VLT reduction request. This is what Anthony Franco discussed during his presentation, so I can follow up on his presentation. Live Casino and Hotel has submitted a request for both temporary and permanent reductions to the number of VLTs on their gaming floor. The ongoing construction to add a new sports and social gaming space and a desire to adjust some slot bank configurations to provide customers more personal space and further emphasize social distancing will require a reconfiguration of the gaming floor. Live Hotel and Casino is requesting approval to temporarily reduce the number of VLTs on their gaming floor by up to 300 at any point during the construction period. Upon completion of these projects, they are requesting to permanently reduce the number of VLTs on their gaming floor by 100, which will bring a new total of 3,752. Construction should be completed no later than March 31st, 2021. Live Casino and Hotel projects that the completion of the proposed amenities will result in an increase in overall revenue. This original request and the schematics can also be found on the MLGCA share drive under my confidential report. So we have two requests, the first of which is the approval of Live Casino and Hotel's request for a temporary reduction of up to 300 VLTs. And the second request is the approval of Live Hotel and Casino's request for a permanent reduction of 100 VLTs, and staff recommends approval for both requests.
Okay, we'll start with the first one. Is there any discussion about the temporary reduction? Hearing none, can I get a motion, please?
Commissioner Doge, so moved.
Mr. Stakem, second.
Mr. Hatch, second.
Okay, all in favor, I'll do the roll call. Vice Chair Hatch?
Approve.
Commissioner Boozer?
Approve.
Commissioner Doge?
Approve.
Commissioner Fager?
Approve.
Commissioner Stakem?
Approve.
Commissioner Williams?
Approve.
Okay, so now let's go to the permanent reduction. Any discussion? Then can I get a motion, please?
Commissioner Doge, so moved.
Commissioner Stakem, second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made and seconded. I'll do the roll call. Vice Chair Hatch?
Approve.
Commissioner Boozer?
Approve.
Commissioner Doge?
Approve.
Commissioner Fager?
Approve.
Commissioner Stakem?
Approve.
Commissioner Williams?
Approve.
Well, there you are, Jim. Anything else we can do for you, sir?
That is it. Thank you.
Okay. There's no need to go into closed session. You know, while I miss you all dearly, seeing you face to face in the midst of our current situation, I believe will continue into September. So we will do this again via the phone on Thursday, the 24th at 10 a.m. If there are no other comments, we stand adjourned.
Randy, thank you.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
All.
Thank you, Randy.
Right,
thank you, Randy.
All right, thanks, bye. All.